Yo, welcome to another dope episode of Creative Conversations, where we just get a couple artists together and just shoot the shit for a little bit. Tonight, we have a very special guest, as always. This singer, I should call him music, just music. He's music. He definitely has a very eclectic sound, definitely holds his own when it comes to wanting to express himself the way he wants to. Give us a warm round of applause and warm intro for the homie, Devin Nash. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Blair. How are you doing?
I am well, man. I'm well.
I'm great.
Yeah, we finally got a chance to link up, man. I got a message and I was like, oh yeah, we could definitely talk. Let's go ahead and shoot the shit for a little bit.
You got a message from who? Let me see. Who you got a message?
I believe it was Asia.
Asia, okay. I thought it was Charlie Asia, whichever one. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my managers.
Yeah. When I got the manager, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, we in there.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, man, I'm doing pretty good though. How's things been going with you just in general? You have a good last weekend?
Yeah, man, it's been cool, bro. It's just been just relaxing, just keeping my head down, making sure that, you know, we just keep it as safe as possible because the streets are hot right now, you know what I mean?
right.
Exactly.
Yes, I agree.
Now, before we get started, man, do me a quick favor. A little bit about yourself.
So yeah, so my name is Devin Nash. I'm a singer-songwriter from Baltimore, Maryland. I moved down to Atlanta to pursue songwriting, and I've been songwriting for a couple people in the industry, some people who are on The Voice and some others. And then a couple years, about 3-4 years ago, I was started writing songs that were kind of like, you know, I felt like that were meant for me. So I just started doing songs for myself to kind of get my own feelings and thoughts out there. So, yep.
I feel that, man. I can respect that. I did read briefly that you were a part of a group and then you decided to just venture out on your own. I can imagine that was a pretty big leap for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, well, It wasn't. I mean, I started definitely writing music that, because so in the group was called New Trend, and we were very like pretty much modeled after the Black Eyed Peas, pretty much at that time, and so the song, there were just songs and aspirations that I had that were beyond, that sounded different than what we were doing. So I knew that was going to come at some point. I didn't know when, but I didn't know it was going to come. But, you know, once the group kind of disbanded, I said, okay, well, let me go ahead and, move down to Atlanta and keep pursuing my dream. So.
Oh, no, nothing but respect, man. I can definitely see something like that can down certain people where they're like, we disbanded. I guess that's it. But for you, you definitely had more of a drive for yourself and you've always had it and you decided to just take that leap of faith, man. I can appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, that's no, fine. No problem, man. No problem at all. So now I won't call myself a singer, but I like to sing in the shower. I like to sing in the car.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I like to hold a note here and there, but
I'm sure you can. I think you just don't think you can, but I'm sure you can.
Oh, no. I mean, I sang a little bit, but nothing on the level of, like, wanting to pursue it as hard as I did, like, photography or anything else. But I did enjoy singing, like, in the choir and high school and different things like that. Mm-hmm. So that was usually, like, my origin story where it started and finished. Now I just sing just because if there's a karaoke, I'll definitely go. But
oh,
really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We got to go. We got to definitely check
you
it
know,
out.
You know what? To be perfectly honest with you, I am not a fan of karaoke.
What
people always tell me that they're like, "What you you know, I don't know what it is. I have no. I think it's because I feel like when I get so I don't consider myself a singer. I consider myself a songwriter that can sing a little bit, right? So okay. I feel like when I get up there, I'm gonna have to. I think it's an ego thing. That's what it is. You know, I'm unpacking this right as we're talking. I think when I get up there, like it has to be really good. Otherwise, what am I doing? Like, why am I getting up there? So I think that's why I feel that way.
Oh, okay. But, so you're the people that the patrons are mad at. You're the guy.
Probably. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Yeah, what is he doing? Stop it. This is not a performance. And I'm like, no, this is a performance, guys. I have to. So I think that's what it is. Now I think about it. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel that. That's awful. Hey, hey, man, you are who you are. I can only respect it.
Exactly.
Let's get into the nitty gritty of it. So, again, you've had inspiration since you were about 5. Give me like kind of like a background on your start with music.
So, yeah, I mean, I was definitely always singing or coming up with little like melodies or ditties or what I guess. Yeah. Call them ditties, I guess. You know, when I was young, 5, 6, 7, but you know, like none of the songs made sense at that time, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like there was a song that I wrote probably about like 5 or 6 called, you know, I don't even want to give you the name. It just sounds ridiculous. Okay. But the point is that I would write song. So I was always doing that, and then probably about 10 years old, I wrote my first or second song called "Loving You," and just thought that it was nice. I just always had a love and affinity for music, for songwriting and singing. Now, at that time, I could not sing. You know, only later on with practice and constant preparation did I learn how to actually sing. You know, but you know, I was always just writing songs with my little brother or, you know, trying to perform somewhere or doing something that had to do with the art of music. So.
Oh, well, that's what's up. And then it was, you said that you wrote songs for your brother. That's always dope that you can get, somebody close to involved with a love that you have. And then you guys can share that through your experiences. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we had a little group called Two. And we were out here. We only performed in our basement and for family. It wasn't nothing. We just performed for family members and stuff. But you know, we were trying. You know, and they were like, "Yeah, good job." That whole thing. What you do need, you know, to get your confidence and stuff up. So,
well, that's good. Having that family support is always dope. Would you say that your family was more of your inspiration, or do you have other inspirations that you pull from?
When it comes to doing music?
Yeah.
Oh, from obviously from, you know, the typical, like, you know, Michael Jackson to BBD. Boyz II Men was a big inspiration. You know, when they came out with that 2 album.
Oh, yeah.
That right there, you know, me and my family would drive down to Florida every summer and listen to that album. So that was very, I was definitely inspired by that. And then there were others, but mostly Michael and Boyz II Men and Bellboy DeVoe at that time.
Yeah.
And then as time went on, it grew into other things. Some things that now I look back on, I'm like, I really was listening to that. And then some things, you know, still age well.
For sure. Yeah. You definitely said a classic too, especially Bev Dip DeVoe. That's very interesting that they were your inspiration, being that they come from a group that was highly successful, and then they have the rare story of everyone splitting up, doing their own thing, and being successful in their own, their own lanes.
Exactly, and it's so funny. I mean, I was a little, you know, I was young, so Poison was probably the first song I heard before any of the New Edition records. You know, because I guess that's because I was young.
Yeah.
And so it was definitely, and then as I got older, I got to know, they were a part of a bigger group. It was a whole nother thing. I didn't, you know, realize that at the time.
Yeah.
I just knew Poison. That's it.
Hey, like, you what know was what? That? That was my song too.
Right.
When I was growing up. Didn't know what they were talking about, but I knew I was going in until I got older.
Exactly. I'm like, you're so right. You are so right, BBD. Yes. Never trust a big button
smile.
It's very true. You are. That is. These are gold nuggets that they're giving us. We didn't realize it.
Exactly. You need to stay focused, man.
You know, stay focused. Yeah, exactly.
So when it comes to inspirations that you pull from Bette Midler, Boyz II Men, I know that it can be hard to get into that creative process, but then you get those inspirations and you then get the creative juices flowing. Do you tend to listen to like older music to kind of get you into that mode, or do you have like another process of creating your music?
So I don't start writing. I don't start writing anything until I'm like inspired by it's mostly personal situations.
Ah, okay.
Because for me, I can listen to other stuff, but I one thing for me, and I'm sure that, you know, when I'm writing other songs or other songs I do come up with, there's definitely like inspiration from other people, you know. So I'm not gonna sit there and be like, it's just so original. Everything's, you know, of course there's definitely inspiration from other people. But what I will say is, I'm never like going, oh, I want to do a song or something like this. I mean, unless it is really old, maybe like from the 70s or the 80s,
mm-hmm.
maybe I'll be inspired by something like that, but nothing that's out that's current. I can't, that's just not, I can't. It's just not in me, you know? I'm not really inspired by that. But so if you take old, older, what do you call them? Older artists, from the Eagles to Prince to, you know, like we just talked about, New Edition. And if you take that and then mix that with personal situations that are going on in my life, that is when I usually start to write something that's meaningful enough that I want to put out.
Oh, okay. I can feel that. And it makes it a little more authentic as well towards what you're trying to convey, it seems. I know I've spoken to artists where sometimes they're not really inspired until something sad happens, or they're not inspired until something happy happens, you know, around in their lives. But would you say that the driving force is usually like, dang, I had a heartbreak, let me write a song? Or is it more or less varied in your experience?
I think my best stuff comes from heartbreak. I'd say, like, you know, I think we'll probably get into other stuff later, but like, my first EP was definitely darker, and then this one isn't as, but it still stems from situations that happened that were, some were heartbreaking, some were not as much, or just inspired me to write things.
Sure.
But yeah, you know, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Now, that's pretty honest though, because, a lot of times we can find ourselves getting into modes and it doesn't really feel very real. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we can also find ourselves that our situations can be a little too real, where we kind of get engulfed in whatever we were feeling when we get into our creative processes. And I know sometimes with me, it's good to concentrate on like photography or any other type of art in order for me to kind of get out of a funk. But did you ever find yourself like getting stuck and you have to like kind of like pull yourself back? Like, okay, I'm getting a little too deep into what I'm doing.
Like music? Like to the point where like not really have any like subjective.
Yeah.
Point of view.
Yeah, where it's like you kind of get so lost in it, because sometimes we can get lost in our craft to where like we have to kind of find ourselves again. Have you ever really felt that before when creating your music?
Getting to the point where it's like way too much happening.
Yeah, it's like, man, let me step back for a second because this is getting
I find like all the best art is like personal, at least to me. Okay. At least because that's. Cause like that's the type of singer I am. I'm not a singer that's gonna like, you're gonna write a song for and then I'm just gonna do a bunch of runs and stuff, you know, and show that emotion. I'm a singer that's purely from emotion.
Okay.
And now I've gotten better over the years, but just in general, for the most part, you're gonna feel that from the like the takes that are that you're feeling. You know, you're feeling. I'm feeling what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. If I'm just like, cause you know, I know me and the nightlife. He's my producing partner. We did some songs for this new EP, did a bunch of them, and they were good. They were cool songs, but it was just like, didn't mean anything. It wasn't, you know. And I think you can tell.
Ah, okay.
You know, you can tell those things. Like it was cool. Like it sounds good, and to like the maybe I guess not the naked eye, but the naked ear, just to a random person was like, oh, that's good. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
like, for me, I'm like, nah, that's not it. That it's cool, but it's not something that I would like 5 years look back on and be like, oh man, that was good. Like I still look back on my on the her EP. I'm proud of what I did. I always want to be proud of what I do. So that's a thing that I definitely that's why it takes so long sometimes for me to do things. It's been a couple of years to even put anything out. We did put like an EP out a couple of years in 2020, and then we put out the single Pretty Woman, but we're still working on this new EP, and it's very close to being done, but we're in like the mixing phase. But it took a while because I had to get some songs that I felt represented me at that time and songs that really hit home.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I feel that. Now, when it comes to the process from mixing, like you said, or even just being in the studio, I can imagine that with you putting so much passion into your music to where you wanted to sound just right, that studio time can really be epic for you once you really, really get it right. So tell me this, like, what was some of your best times in the studio? And like, just give me like one of your top songs. Like, what was that process like to, you know, get it laid down and, you know, mixed and everything like that to present to the world?
Let me think. There's probably a couple of them. I'm trying to think of some ones that were, like you said, that were just things I thought were great. I mean, probably doing.
Yeah, making you work. I'm making you work this episode, huh?
Okay, because there's a couple of them. There's a couple. You know what? I'd say I would say Pretty Woman.
Okay.
Yeah, Pretty Woman, and then there's a song called Beloved Again that's on the album too that they both kind of very great nights as far as like creativity wise and coming up with things, but they both were all sessions though. Okay. They were sessions that were like many of them for both songs. Mm-hmm. So, like, Pretty Woman, like, took us almost 6 months to get done.
Oh, wow.
Because we were recording it, and we had this idea and that idea, and then we had the bridge differently than what it is now, and all these different things. And then we kind of went back into it and, like, took some things out. It was a whole process, but when we were doing it, like, there was, you know, we're drinking, we have some drinks in the studio. It's normally me, my producer of the nightlife, and my engineer. Okay. And then we're just kind of, it's good vibes. Okay, you know what? I scratched all that. I just thought about this. Mm-hmm. This song will not make the album, but there's a song called Take It Home that we did. It was like a bar crawl song.
Oh,
again,
okay.
You know, really good song, but, and we had a great time doing it. Everybody's laughing, drinking, yelling, screaming, because but it'd be like really joyous, and you're singing to the top of your lungs like you're at a bar with people. It has like a Elton John sample, and so we were doing that. That was a great night. I forgot about that just now. But again, as good of a song as it was, there were things that that didn't work for this EP. It might work next time or for something else, but for this, it didn't really work. But just in itself, the actual song sounds joyous. Because mm-hmm. you're having a joyous and fun time in the studio. And there was shots being taken, we was acting crazy, which is fun. And so that's probably the most memorable one, because it was a lot, it was just fun, you know? And when you have that good energy, you know, it always makes it for like a great time.
No, for sure. I love that, man. I love the fact that you guys could literally have like a little party and then mm-hmm. make a song in the process.
Right.
And then, you know, just tell your party through a song based on what y'all are actually doing. So it makes it even more authentic. It's like, yeah, we're not bar crawling right now, but we have a bar in the studio and we're going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the song itself is so good. At least in my opinion, it's really good. It just needs, you know, we need to figure out some things for that. But again, that'll, you know, happen in due time.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, I know you mentioned that, there are some music of today that doesn't really inspire you. It's like the oldies do, which gives you a bit of diversity in your music. Mm-hmm. With that type of diversity, it definitely sets you apart from your quote unquote average artist. You know what I'm saying? I use that term very loosely because, you know, everybody has their Yeah, no problem. Yeah. They have their message that they want to send, and mm-hmm. it just resonates with different people in different ways. So when it comes to your diversity in your music, do you find yourself, like, at least in the beginning, was it kind of like nerve-wracking to really find that sound, or did you always feel like you were just different and you wanted to do what you wanted to do?
Okay, just in general as an artist? Yeah, I think especially... I don't know. It definitely was developed, okay. for sure. And I, you know, I always try and say that there's nothing new under the sun.
Sure.
You know, but I do think that I do bring my own personality, my own vibe to songs at this point in time. So yeah, it was definitely developed, and I remember me and my producer like talking about, you know, with him telling me, Devin, I think you know, kind of create a character. And so I definitely studied a lot of different people from Prince to I'm trying to think, to Jimi Hendrix to David Bowie to all these different people who like have these that are famous for having like characters for being characters in their music, and because I really like that, those things inspire me. I don't know why there's so much than just the regular I'm doing whatever I'm doing in the character. But even like, you know, Kanye West, especially his first couple of albums. But yeah, you know, so I guess I see as to say is that it was definitely a process over some years.
Okay,
and so that's why I say things got better and better. Like when you would listen to the EP. And things are it's good, but then you also, when you listen to CP, you'll hear that there's a different character, and that also the vocals are better, and the production's even mm-hmm. better, and all these different things, you know, mm-hmm. and it's completely different from what the her EP is.
Sure. And yeah. It's always good to have growth too. So it's like for you to say that, you know, from her to now. You're definitely going to hear the growth and see the growth. Is super dope, and being able to kind of pinpoint, oh, okay, cool. So now he did something different here. I'm definitely feeling this sound here, because back then it was cool, but he's getting better and better, and that's what right. you want to convey to your audience.
Right, exactly.
So I do like the fact that you mentioned personas as well, like characters that past greats have definitely performed as, in order to really get us hooked to their sound plus their style. I've noticed that, and we'll get into Pretty Woman in a minute, but when watching that video, I remember seeing that you just had like this different style, and you weren't really afraid to perform. You feel what I'm saying? It sounds interesting, yeah. But it's like, you know, people can be reserved, they can be chill. You were like, man, I'm about to do what I want to do in this video, and this is how I want to portray it.
Yeah. Oh, you know? No. I mean, I was nervous for sure. Very uncomfortable. But anyway, I was. But, wow. but people would be like, "Oh, you were?" I'm like, yeah, I was super uncomfortable, especially you know, those scenes in the and with you know, the different scenes. The different scenes. I was like, "Man." But you know, hey. It is what it is.
Hey, well, you definitely fooled me. I was looking. I was like, okay, this dude does what he wants to. That was the very first thing I thought about.
But see, with that in itself, I feel like that's what you as an artist you should be doing. I feel like we should not be following the norm. Like you're gonna have inspirations, but like you have to like be I can't think of the word, but you have to be. Have to want to die for your arts, in such to speak, you know?
Okay.
But you can't not want to do it. Otherwise, what are we doing?
True.
You know?
No, that's true. That's fair. I remember starting shooting, and I was, like, really nervous to shoot people because I thought that photographs of people, you know, you had to learn how to direct, and you had to do this, and you had to do that. And I thought there was, like, there are techniques that you want to follow to develop your style. But in the end, you have to really pretty much shoot the way you want to. You have to edit the way you want to in order to convey the story you want to tell versus trying to tell someone else's.
Right.
I read a book called Still Like an Artist, and basically it kind of conveyed that, where it's like, just like you said, even in the beginning of the book, nothing's new under the sun. Like, they started off with that to let people know it's like, yeah, what we're doing, everyone is doing, but how do you want to convey what everyone is doing to do it the way you want to? if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so I remember reading that book and I was just taking it all in. It's like, you know, just like you said, you go back in time and listen to old artists, Prince, Michael Jackson, Boyz II Men, and you're like, okay, I like what they're doing. How can I do that in the way that I want to do it?
Right.
You know, what would I do better? What can I take from that? What can I redefine for me? Right. And basically, within my art form, I was able to do that through simplicity. I don't know if you got a chance to check out my photography. If you haven't, mm-hmm. go ahead mm-hmm. and do so.
Yes, I definitely will. I followed you too. So, I mean, I don't know if you know, but yeah, I definitely will do that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, for sure. Appreciate that. So it's like, but when you see it, it's like my goal is to tell a story of whoever I'm shooting and just having that that good time to look at a really, really dope photo, a really dope image. And I don't have to do too much in order for that photo to be dope because that's the way that I see it and the way that I want to tell it. So I can resonate with your message of just wanting to die for your music and then doing everything you can to really enjoy what you're doing and basically provide people with what you think they want to listen to. And it's like you're going to catch someone with that idea and with that mindset, you know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
So now with that being said, there was a moment that I got to read that you were able to participate in the BET Awards.
BET Awards weekend, yeah. It was weekend. It wasn't in the actual awards show itself. It was during the weekend, so I performed doing that whole thing.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so you got to experience that, and you got to have music featured on Black Ink Crew Chicago,
yes.
on VH1, and Teen Mama MTV. Mm-hmm. So you hit the trifecta pretty much.
I mean, that was... Mm-hmm. It was interesting. I didn't know what was happening. There's a whole story about that. It's so insane.
Yeah.
I had no idea that any of those songs were on TV. I received an email from somebody in LA and was like, "Hey, I love your song. The song's called OD." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." And they were like, "You know, give me a call because I want to do an interview with you, you know, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "Okay, sure." So I gave them a call. They're like, I was listening to your song on, what's it called? What's the show called again?
You talking about Teen Mom or Black
Hair? Yes, Teen Mom. Okay. Teen Mom. I was like, you listen to the song on what? Where? And she's like, yeah. I was like, what? And so she sent me the episode and everything like that. I was like, hot. So then I'm doing research and stuff because I did finally get paid for it because it's all registered and everything like that. But I didn't realize they just took the song and never told me anything and never said anything to me about it. Which is, it's crazy. And I was just like, okay. And I would have never known. But somehow she heard the song. It was only like 10 seconds, if that, of the song during the scene. She heard it. She liked it. She shazammed it or did something. Figured out who I was, got my information, emailed me, and told me she liked the song. It was very weird. I was like, thanks.
That's kind of dope, though, low key. Yeah. I mean, outside of you not knowing, I would wish somebody would have said something if I was here. She was like, you could have told me that you wanted to use the song.
Right, exactly.
But it's kind of dope to say that, hey, I got somebody who did their due diligence to reach out
exactly.
to me and to tell me that, hey, I thought the song was dope, even if it was just a snippet of it. That's kind of
right. cool. Right. And then I ended up flying to LA to actually do an interview with her. It was a whole thing. It was cool.
Wow.
It was a cool thing. Yeah.
Now, when it came to Black Ink Crew Chicago, was it the same thing or were you notified for that one?
I didn't know until I got a check in the mail. Then I was like, what? For what? And I look at my ASCAP. I'm like, oh, okay. Got it. So, yeah, it's definitely one of those things.
Oh man, I need to make a good song right quick just to get random money.
Yeah, random money. And you know what the thing is, and this is a lesson, just for like copyright your stuff, and then also make sure you have ASCAP or BMI or something like that where people they track your songs. Because if you didn't, do that, then I would never have gotten paid.
Oh well, you know what? That's good because I'm not going to say that people like to steal music, but there's some people who like to steal music.
Oh yeah, because I guess they feel like the people are probably not going to listen to it, because, or watch that show like you know, what is the likelihood of me being on watching TV and you know, listening to that, you know, and staying there the whole time, and then, oh, this is my song. Like, yeah, the likelihood of that happening is very slim to none.
Not for sure. Well, yeah, at least you got your just due for that. That's super dope. I like that. Again, No problem at all. You're just going to hear a song from me randomly. I know that voice. We had an episode. Did he get his check? Let me call him.
No, it won't be random. Yes. If I hear it, yes. But I'm saying it won't be random because you would have put it out on all on social media. I'm like, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I know this.
Yeah. Everybody would know.
For sure.
All right. So let's go ahead and get into the nitty gritty because we mentioned it before, but Pretty Woman. I got a chance to really sit down and watch the video. I recognized the streets. I was like, oh, he's downtown. Oh, he's in Little Five Points. Oh, you know what I'm saying? He really got to get to the artsy side. And then you started like really going in with the steps and you had the mic and you were going in. And then next, you know, you had the women rubbing on you. I was like, oh, this man is really going in. And then, you know, you had the Prince vibes because I started hearing the notes and I was like, oh, he's like, he's really performing right now. And it wasn't what I would expect because I remember hearing it before when I got your press form from your manager. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a different kind of sound. Definitely reminds me of like old school Prince 80s. Okay, cool. It's really fun. It's like a bop. And then I watched the visual and I was like, oh, he's out here.
Yeah.
I was like, he's really going in. Got the leather jacket on and all that. So tell me the experience when it came to shooting that music video.
First off, Delta lost that leather jacket. I just want to say that.
You lost the leather jacket?
Delta did. I didn't lose.
Delta?
Oh. Yeah, it's a long. I love that leather jacket with the rose.
Yeah, that sucks.
Anyway, okay. I'm over it. I'm not over it, but I'm over it. But the experience was good. I mean, you know, again, my producer of the Nightlife, he was like, I think we should do. Just a reenactment of Pretty Woman the movie. And I was like, okay. And I was like, but and one of my other managers had said something when he had heard the song and he was like, you should be like an all white with, and you know, he was just saying it, you know, he was talking about the whole Prince vibe. I was like, yeah, I can see that. We didn't do exactly that, but I was like, I gotta, you know, get in shape. I had to figure this out because I felt like the song was, even though it's fun, it's talking about something serious and it's kind of sexy. It's just and there's a provocative vibe to it, especially if you listen to the lyrics. So I said I have to do something that brings that out and shows that and that. And so I was glad that I felt like we accomplished it because it's been pretty well received. Even like there's this platform called Pop Smash Radio.
Okay.
And we've been able to get like to number 5 on there, and we've been like, you know, nominated for best group video and all that stuff for that. So that was pretty cool. And thinking, okay, well, that we did a pretty good job. I mean, otherwise, you know, what people like it and they nominated us for it. But yeah, I mean, like I was told you before, it was uncomfortable. But it was also very much like us, like you said. I practiced. I just prepared. We got the models. We spent a lot of money. We got the, you know, my boy Mercury. He's a great videographer. I worked with him on some other things before too. And I told him what the idea was. He came down from Virginia actually, and filmed it for us. And you know, boom. And so we actually held on to it for like a little bit because we wanted to be closer to finishing the EP before we put it out. But like to do like a whole like, you know, like layout or whatever. But yeah, so I mean, like that in itself, like the actual experience though was great and uncomfortable. Incredible.
Yeah. So you mentioned uncomfortable before. Like if you want to get into it, made it uncomfortable?
He's playing. Oh, I'm not a. I mean, I'm playing, but I'm also serious. Like, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not a public. What do you call it? What's the word when you're making out and kissing and doing rubbing on people?
Oh, PDA.
That? Yeah. So yeah, I'm very private with that stuff. So when I'm doing it out in public and like, especially with people I don't know very well, because you know, that's not my girlfriend. Those girls aren't people I know like that. You know. So it's weird. But at the end of the day, like, I felt like Mercury caught what he needed to catch and then told, you know, gave me great direction, you know?
Sure, sure. So. When it comes to that type of affection, you're pretty modest and you want to keep it with the person that you're with behind closed doors.
Exactly. I'm very private with that. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it's just like, what is happening here? Why? Stop touching me. No, I'm just kidding. But no,
I don't know you.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
No, so, man, it's all right. We say, not everybody's down with like being touched. Like you say, especially in public and you got the camera on, you got the light on you.
Right.
You know, it's just a lot. You're just in the forefront with something like that going on. So you got to really bust out your acting chops to really get through the scene, right?
Right. But I mean, it was really, like I said, it was still a really dope experience. And like you said before, I felt like it was something that we had to do. Like it was something like it has to be provocative. It has to be this. And I'm proud of it.
Oh, good deal. Good deal. Well, man, that's the best feeling in the world, man. Like I said, I saw it and I was just, I had fun watching it. And that was really big for me. I was just like, I'm having like a lot of fun. I'm like, and I'm just looking at you like, yeah, this dude is just really doing what he wants to do. Like I said before, now, when it came to writing that particular song, did you have the video idea Pretty Woman in mind, or did that look different for you at first?
Yeah, so that definitely came after.
Okay.
But I just had this idea about that. Probably actually after, as I was finishing up Her, I had this idea, but I knew that the song wasn't for the Her EP. I just had this whole thought about like, I thought it was interesting in exploring the mindset of a woman that would, or a person, period, that would exchange time, intimacy for money.
Right.
And so I thought that was interesting. And then obviously, you know, that's been explored a little bit with the actual movie, but I haven't really heard too many songs about that though.
Okay.
And so I was like, that's be interesting. And, you know, it just came to me, and we just started writing it, and like I said before, it took a lot of sessions because we were back and forth with how we wanted it to go and the structure, but yeah, it was definitely something to the fact that I thought that actual subject matter was interesting.
Oh, good deal. Yeah, that is interesting that you wanted to put that together in a song, especially a song like that, because sometimes really good artists will definitely take really, really serious matters or very provocative matters, and they'll make it like something of a bop. But at the same time, when you really sit and listen to it, it's like, this is a bop, but this song is like, really has like something deep going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's full of loneliness and all that stuff, pretty much, is really what it's about. So,
yeah.
And it kind of reminds me about the first time I went to a strip club. I was like, what is happening?
Oh wow!
So, because it was like people, you know, people were doing things for money, and people were giving money to feel affection.
Yeah.
In a way, I mean, obviously, you know, I guess people know what it is, but still to get attention.
Yeah.
You know, so I just thought that atmosphere was like, that's interesting. This is interesting. I was more of an observer than a participant. I was like, this is wild. So, yeah.
I feel that. I think the very first time I went to a strip club, I went to a housewarming party, mm-hmm. and the young lady who was throwing it, she had a lot of friends come over, and they all decided they wanted to go to the strip club, and I've never been at that time, but mm-hmm. I was already shooting, so I knew what naked women looked like. I was around naked women before mm-hmm. the shot, so mm-hmm. it wasn't anything super crazy, but the guys who were there was like, you never been, you know mm-hmm. what, we're going to give you $60 right now to go. And I was like, all right, you know, it's like, that's your $60. And he's like, you don't have it if you come to the strip club, blah, blah, blah. Man, when you go in there, you're going to go crazy. And it's like, little did you know, like, I'll be all right.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It was fine. Now, did you spend the $60? Did you at least throw the $60? Did you give it to
anybody? I had
you
it.
You kept it for yourself?
That's
crazy. You can't go. That's okay.
I went back and I spent what they gave me, sure.
Okay.
Okay, got it. It was cool because, like I said, we went in, we had a good time. It was funny. I saw this one dancer. She was super cut up, so she was really in shape. Mm-hmm. And she climbed up the pole, and then she just did pull-ups on the rafters. I was like, I never thought I would see that.
Gotcha.
And the stripper up, I was like, I got a whole workout video while going in, while everybody else is dancing. So
and, that, like, and exactly, and that's why she's cut, because she's working out while everybody else is dancing. There you go.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, you're working when you can.
Right, exactly. Good for her.
We definitely had a good time. And you know what I'm saying? We saw the money being thrown and stuff like that. It was cool. But, you know, I was like, yeah, I just couldn't do this every weekend. But hey.
Yeah. You know. I've only been like twice, maybe three times in my life. But
same. I haven't really been here and there.
Yeah.
But now, coming out of the strip club, okay. All the dancers, right. You know what I'm saying? Leaving Pretty Woman on the side here, leaving that there. Let's go back in time for a bit. So, again, you mentioned your EP, Her. Mm-hmm. I want to kind of briefly discuss your process when creating an EP, because there are a lot of people that come out with it, but we really don't get to hear that process of really laying it all out and then bringing it up. You know, bring it out to the people to literally listen to. What was your experience like when creating that EP, Her, from beginning to end, and then bringing it out for people to hear?
Man, that's a good question. It was emotional because that EP itself was definitely very emotional. Mm-hmm. Like, let me think. So, I worked with two producers during that time. I worked with my producer that I used to work with, and then I also worked with this guy named Tommy Ross. Mm. He's more of an EDM producer, but he did some tracks, did a couple songs for me on there. And it was just, you know, it's emotional, it's stressful, you know, time consuming. But it felt very, I felt like I was releasing something and saying the thing I needed to say. Mm-hmm. Like, I was really going through a really tough time now, right now. Like, probably one of the toughest times of my entire life.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, it was really, I mean, you know, and with that, it was a story being told. At least I was telling my story at that time. And it's so interesting. I say this to my partner, The Nightlife, all the time. So I'm like, yo, me and you always do two EPs to get one EP.
Interesting. That's very interesting. So you guys work on a lot just to bring it together to one?
Yeah. Well, we always think what we're doing the first time is, oh, this is it. This is it. And then it's never it. And then something else. Then cause I'll never forget. Like, we had a whole nother EP that we were done. That was like, oh, these are the songs. And then real inspiration hit. Like, some things sad that happened, mm-hmm. and then the actual EP came out of that. The other EP was nowhere near good enough. It just wasn't. And the same thing with this. It was like, you know, we had a bunch of songs. They were cool. It was nice. They were happy and jumping, you know, but then, like, the real EP came out eventually. And so I told him, I was like, you know, that's what it is. And that's what I know sometimes it can be frustrating, you know, but, mm-hmm. and you have to have patience. A lot of patience, for sure, because it's a small team. It's not a bunch of people, you know, mm-hmm. and we don't have unlimited funds. And, you know, I'm an independent artist. So, a lot of patience.
Got you. I can imagine patience for sure, because especially in your case, because we don't have to delve deep into your personal, you know, the personal things that were going on. But I can imagine doing your best to work through those and then those moments in your life and then channeling that energy into your music, I'm sure was emotionally exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able to come out of it on top with your production, I'm sure was rewarding at the same time.
Right. Yeah, it definitely is. And it's exhausting, but it's also, like I said, freeing. Like,
yeah,
it's great when you feel like you can write something down and then not feel like you wrote it down.
Okay.
That makes sense. Like, I didn't do this. This came from God or something.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's still me doing it, I guess, you know? So I feel like that's when you know you have a good song when you don't even feel like you did it.
Good deal. Good deal. Yeah. I you're having that, like I say, it was a spiritual thing for you. Am I right? Am I correct to say that?
Yes.
Got you. Yeah. So, and there's nothing like that when you're like in your mode, like no matter what was going on, it's just something was moving through you. You know what I'm saying? It's a blessing to be able to experience that because, again, without that, who knows where you would have been?
Right.
You know? Yeah. So I can appreciate that and appreciate your experience when creating that EP. You know what I'm saying? And being able to bring that out to the world to hear and then grow from that. So I definitely give you kudos for that, man.
Thank you.
Oh, man. No problem at all. No problem at all. Now, let's kind of delve deep into another aspect of art because on your press information, I saw that you had a little bit of acting under your belt with the film Cold Case Killer. Tell me a little bit about that because I'm curious to to really get your experience on that project.
I mean, there was acting done during the video.
Yeah,
I played like a undercover cop. Mm-hmm. It was done by a production company called TNT Productions.
Okay,
and they were putting together a short film. I'm gonna forget the name of this film. I always forget the name of this film every time I talk to somebody about it. But they were putting together a short film. I'm gonna get it in a second. But they put together a short film, and I've done some songs for them before.
Yeah.
There was a song I did called "Summer Lit" for one of their TV shows that they were doing.
Okay.
So I did that. They asked me to write a song for that, and really. I know the actual premise of the actual film was about a girl who had been killed, and there was a lot of sinister things going on there, and she was discovered by her another person just randomly running or whatever through the woods, when they actually gave me the actual subject matter, I read the script and just was like, okay, and came up with the whole concept of Cold Case Killer. Definitely has a Michael Jackson vibe, in my opinion, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely was a inspiration. What is the song called? Smooth Criminal?
Yeah, okay.
So, for sure. But, me actually acting itself, I mean, I wouldn't call it acting. But I did do some acting. There were some things, I just kept a straight face and tried to act, I was acting like I was, so I guess that is acting like I was a tough cop. I had this wig on, had this afro on and everything like that, had my 70s shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
It was cool. I got to carry a gun, run around acting like I was chasing some, but it was definitely cool. I feel like I could be in an action film after that. I feel like people are missing out. They need to cast me immediately.
Hey man, make it to existence, my guy. You said that you'll be cast for an action movie. So let me ask, when it comes down to acting, do you think that you're going to pursue that anymore in the future, or are you going to kind of leave it to the music videos?
If the opportunity came, of course. I mean, I love anything art-wise, anything that has to do with the arts. So, of course, I mean, if that came. But I'm not, looking for it. It's not really a passion of mine as much as music is.
Understood. Yeah. Well, I definitely wish the best for you in that because I'm no actor myself. I think I did one musical in high school as a favor.
And,
it was fun, but
what musical was that?
It was a one act play. I forget what it was called, but I played the bully who was troubled.
Okay. The troubled bully. As they all are.
Exactly. I was a trouble bully with the horrible home life. So, but it was definitely a fun experience, man. And I mean, getting the chance to just pretend and get into a character is really dope. I got a chance to speak to, actors and whatnot, and they let me know their experiences. And it's always fascinating that they can just transform and then from there just come out of it and be themselves again.
Right, exactly. I mean, that right there is an art. Oh man,
yeah.
To be able to do some of those things, I mean, that's crazy. I definitely was listening to her a podcast or not a podcast, a interview about Bryan Cranston and how he's able to like just be kind of sitting there and talking and smiling, laughing, and then when he goes to action, he's all emotional and crying. Like, yeah, that's no way.
Right, right.
No way I could do all that.
Nah, I get that, man. I mean, sure. I'm sure you can definitely get that done. But when you say that, I want to kind of delve into what's next. What's next for you, my guy? Because with the music that you got going on now and working on more another EP with your team, what do you say is next for you in your process, in your artistry journey, if you will?
So we're going to be coming out with this EP. It's called Pretty Woman, I Love You, Mocha. Okay. And once we do that, we're going to just go on a run of promoting and performing and setting up shows, traveling, hopefully. That's the thought. You know, one thing that we've been really focused on is trying to put out as much content as possible, because I feel like that's the game. It's all about content. I think we have enough and the right content that what can happen is then you can start to get booked at places that you want to get booked at. Because the one thing I felt like could have been better for my last EP was I was doing a bunch of shows. They were all shows I didn't feel like would match my genre.
Okay.
You know, I'd be at a place and it'd be mostly, you know, I'm trying to think what I would be doing, but I'd be mostly doing, trap events.
Okay.
Music at that time was like R&B, so it still worked to an extent, but not as well as it could have been if I was doing different shows, I felt like. So that's what we're focused on, mostly getting on the correct platforms for my music.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. All right, man. Well, with everything you have going on, from growing from your EP Her to being able to express yourself the best way that you possibly could when promoting and performing Pretty Woman, to getting your acting chops a little bit in Cold Case Killer, man, I want to say that I appreciate you coming on the show, man. Devin Nash out here doing his thing, man. It's been
Thank a pleasure you.
To speak with you.
Yeah, me too. This is a great interview.
I appreciate that, man. For sure, for sure. Now, do me a favor. Tell the people where they can find you.
Oh, they can find me on all platforms at Devin Nash Music. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok at Devin Nash Music. And then you can find my music, my single that we're promoting right now, Pretty Woman, on all streaming platforms. So go check it out. Please repost it, all that stuff. Hopefully you'll see me soon performing somewhere in Atlanta or in LA or wherever you are.
Awesome, man. Awesome. People, that is another episode in the books. This is Blair, but you know, my friends call me Brock. You can catch this podcast, Creative Conversations, on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Search Creative Conversations and you'll see my pretty face come up. Until next time, people, definitely stay blessed and also stay creative. Peace.